This is the son of PCJ.
Radio Berlin International.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch rural broadcasting system in Hilversum, Holland.
You're tuned to Swiss Radio International in Bern.
This is Free China as a presentation of the Voice of Free China, the international service of the Broadcasting Corporation of China.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory in the Americas.
This is Radio South Africa.
This is Yugoslavia Radio Belgrade calling.
This is Israel broadcasting from Jerusalem.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perrell.
Well, hello and Happy New Year, and welcome to the first show for 2013. Coming up on the program today, we're going to be joined by Mark Savage from the BDXC, that's British DX Club. We'll be talking about the club as well as shortwave listening and many other things. It's an interview that you will certainly have a lot of fun listening to. We have this and much more, so stay tuned. This is Media Network Plus, still recovering from our annual, hangover. But to begin, here's Paulette with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
Sky News Arabia, a 24-hour Arabic-language rolling news channel broadcasting from Abu Dhabi, has added TuneIn to its portfolio of multimedia offerings, enabling viewers to access live audio of the channel's broadcast while online or on the go. TuneIn allows users to stay up to date with the latest news from Sky News Arabia via their mobile devices without sacrificing the bandwidth required for full video live streaming. The service is available on a wide range of mobile operating systems, including iOS, Android, Palm, BlackBerry, and Windows Phone, as well as online. Video broadcast of Sky News Arabia is available through the channel's app for iOS and Android devices, as well as on skynewsarabia.com and livestation.com. Native apps are also available for BlackBerry and Nokia mobile devices. North Korean authorities have intensified their jamming of foreign radio broadcasts since the beginning of December, blocking signals from South Korea and the United States almost every day during the last month of a year-long period of mourning for the country's former leader, Kim Jong-il, sources in China say. North Korean jamming is usually sporadic due to electricity outages and the cost of special facilities, but has now been continuous since December 1st, according to a source in the border city of Dandong in China's Liaoning province. Speaking on condition of anonymity, the source said that listening to Radio Free Asia and Voice of America is almost impossible due to static, which has continued since the 1st of this month. Meanwhile, a source in the Yanbian Korean Autonomous Prefecture of China's Jilin province confirmed that static had disrupted reception of RFA broadcasts, adding that broadcasts of South Korea's KBS, or Korean Broadcasting System, were also getting harder to hear. Another source, who recently moved to China, said that North Korean jamming signals have also interfered with Chinese broadcasts, leaving programs on CRI, the state-run China Radio International, hard to listen to. The Board of Directors of Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty has accepted the resignation of RFERL's President and CEO, Stephen Korn, to be effective January 25, 2013. The Board thanked Mr. Korn for his service and noted his work to enhance RFERL operations. We appreciate the passion and energy Steve devoted to RFERL through a difficult time of change in the global media landscape, including strengthening its presence on digital platforms, said Michael Linton, presiding governor of the Broadcasting Board of Governors. He was crucial to negotiating a new lease for our Prague headquarters and establishing a Journalists in Trouble Fund, among other important advancements. Steve's background in the private sector, especially in broadcasting, made him our top choice, and he brought innovative approaches to his leadership. With his resignation, we will immediately begin a search for a replacement. Korn was appointed in June 2011 and had previously worked for 17 years at Turner Broadcasting Systems, Inc., serving as Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary. From 1996 to 2000, he was Vice Chairman and Chief Operating Officer of CNN. Interim leadership will be announced shortly, and the board voted to establish a search committee led by Governors Susan McHugh, Michael Meehan, Victor Ash, and Dennis Mulhaupt. International news channel Euronews has announced the launch of its 12th edition in Greek. The channel will be available on major Greek and Cypriot platforms, on Euronews Express and live mobile apps, as well as online. It will also soon be available on Euronews Radio. Targeted to Greece, Cyprus, and the Greek-speaking population worldwide, the Euronews 24/7 Greek service will be broadcast from Lyon, and it will be the first to be locally adapted. The Euronews Greece structure is a 100% subsidiary of Euronews Group, employing more than 40 professionals. The new bureau in Athens will be officially inaugurated in early 2013. Euronews Greece is currently available across Europe on Eutelsat Hotbird 13A satellite and will soon be carried through numerous cable, satellite, and IPTV partners. The BBC World Service could broadcast programs aimed at residents of North Korea for the first time, under proposals being discussed by MPs, corporation bosses, and U.S. officials. U.S. President Barack Obama's administration is encouraging the Foreign Office to back plans to establish a BBC Korean service to help open up the most secret country on Earth. They believe the BBC's reputation for impartiality could help build up trust with the communist state's population of 24 million. The U.S. government-run networks Voice of America and Radio Free Asia already broadcast into North Korea. It is understood that the U.S. officials also visited the Foreign Office during their trip to London to express their enthusiasm for a BBC Korean network. For these and more media news stories, visit the Kim Andrew Elliott blog. You can find a link to it at the homepage of our website, www.pcjmedia.com. That's the news and media for this week. I'm Paulette Macquarie.
Thank you very much, Paulette. And you're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International, heard on the World Radio Network, Sirius XM, and Sky Digital. I'm Keith Parent. Now, I'm going to run a little promo for you right now because it has to do with today's subject. Now, tell me if you've ever heard of this group.
The British DX Club is one of the world's leading DX clubs, with hundreds of members both in the UK and around the globe. BDXE produce a comprehensive monthly magazine called Communication, covering all aspects of the DXing hobby. The BDXE Audio Circle is also available and is a monthly program of DX catches and general chat about radio. For more information, please write to the British DX Club, 10 Hemdean Hill, Caversham, Reading, RG4, 7SB in the United Kingdom, or visit the website at www.bdxc.org.uk. That's www.bdxc.org.uk.
Yes, the British DX Club. I have a few copies of their monthly magazine, and I have to say, it's very informative and quite interesting to read. Now, there are those right now listening who maybe are too young to even know about the BDXC. So how about we do a little bit of an informal lesson? Joining us now on the program is Mark Savage from the BDXC. And when I interviewed him, I began by asking him how he got interested in international broadcasting.
Well, I used to be a bit of a solitary DXer, but I realized this is a fascinating hobby, and I wanted to join a club, really. And I was still at school at the time, and I discovered that there was actually one of the major UK clubs, which at the time was called the Twickenham DX Club, was in fact based just about 8 kilometres, 5 miles, in fact, probably even less than that from me. And so I kind of followed up their information in the local library, actually, and the rest is history. I became involved then in the mid-70s and have been very much involved ever since, and have made all my closest friends, well, most of my closest friendships through the club, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Shortwave Listening, how did you start listening? Because what I'm hearing from a lot of people is they said, well, my grandfather or my father had a radio and I was tuning on and I found some very strange voices from a far-off land and that's how I got hooked. Was that the same for you?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was medium wave originally for me because we didn't actually possess a shortwave radio set in my household as far as I know. Although my mother enjoyed listening to the radio and my dad as well, we just had domestic sets. And I discovered some of the stations such as Radio Moscow and Radio Tirana and its old guys and goodness knows what else, back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I started hearing about shortwave. Well, my pocket money, my allowance from my parents, wasn't really enough to buy a shortwave set at the time. But I eventually got one as a Christmas present. The Christmas, I think, before I joined Twickenham DX Club. And that's when I started discovering places from even further afield.
Now, the thing that's interesting about the shortwave audience is you could say there's kind of like two shortwave audiences. There's the DXers, who provide a lot of valuable information for international broadcasters on signal strength and everything else, because otherwise, if you're radio, a voice of Russia, for example, you will have no idea of how your signal is coming in the UK. And then you have the other shortwave listeners, which are kind of like myself, who are regular shortwave listeners who listen because of some very interesting content and everything. But it seems that, you know, over the past few years, it seems that the DX side, the DX listeners, who are very important, seem to be almost ignored nowadays.
Yeah, sadly, I think that's probably pretty much the case. And it's something we've struggled with in the BDXC, the British DX Club, you know, to take on board that attitude, both of the broadcasters and, of course, the different attitudes of the people that are tuning into shortwave out there. I think a lot of it is inevitably due to the growth of the Internet, which is perhaps a more effective targeted thing. But shortwave, you know, still has uses and things which perhaps the broadcasters overlook. And there used to be a certain lager advertising in Europe, a lager beer. They used to say it refreshes the parts other beers cannot reach. And I think the great thing about shortwave is that it refreshes the ears that other mediums can't reach. You know, you'll get to people with shortwave that you'll never get to with an Internet connection. And that really is what DXing and shortwave listening is all about, isn't it?
Well, it is. But, you know, the thing that's interesting about Internet radio is in some ways, actually, in, I think in every way, it's actually rather limited. Because for Internet radio and people that listen to Internet radio, it's not as accessible as tuning on a shortwave radio in itself. And if you think about it, I mean, well, for me anyway, the idea of listening to Internet radio, even though I do, if I'm sitting in front of my laptop, but if I'm outside on a Saturday or Sunday morning on my balcony with my dogs reading the newspaper, the last thing I want to have with me is my laptop.
That's right. I think that you can compare it in some ways with what's happened with other ways of listening to music, really. I mean, people have been forecasting for years that vinyl would die and, you know, your 45s and your 33s would disappear from shops. And, of course, that hasn't happened. You know, mm-hmm. There are still people that prefer to listen to music that way and find that it's a superior medium to listen on. And I think the same can be said of shortwave.
Well, you know,
I mean, I kind of got back into shortwave simply because of its very portability. You know, you can take a shortwave radio anywhere. Which is a lot harder to do with some laptops.
We know, Mark, it's really funny that you mentioned vinyl, because when they were calling for the death of vinyl, I mean, in the last few years, the major record companies and also independents started to release vinyl versions of CDs that they were also coming out with. So it's sort of like it started making, of course, it's not as going to be a bigger market as CDs or downloading music from the Internet, but it's still there enough that they're issuing more and more things. Now, some people have said to me that this is what's going to happen with shortwave. Shortwave is going, they said, through this transition period where since maybe the early 1990s, stations are cutting back on frequencies, and they're focused so much on the Internet. But eventually, at some point, they're going to realize, wait a second, we've put all our eggs in one basket, and now we're having a problem.
Well, that's quite right. And, I mean, there have been a couple of major failures of the internet backbone recently, which just highlight that, you know, you can't rely on the internet all the time, whereas a shortwave signal, despite the problems of jamming and the like, which I know you're talking about, I believe, today, you know, that generally speaking, a shortwave signal will get through where other things won't. And quite frankly, I panic about what might happen in the event of a real, you know, world emergency when all other communication channels fails, if we progressively close down all our shortwave transmitters, and we've got no other means of keeping in touch with the world. That's its great benefit.
Well, you know, Mark, I sent an email recently to BBC World Service to get their latest shortwave schedule for Asia-Pacific. When I told them I was living in Taiwan, the response back was really funny. They said, oh, by the way, you can listen to the BBC World Service on FM at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, wait a second, do you really expect me to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to listen to NewsHour? You've got to be kidding, right? Whereas for shortwave, I can turn it on at a more reasonable hour, and actually, in fact, all day. Now, this is something that I've heard from shortwave listeners in North America. They said, you know, the stations like DW, Radio Nederland, BBC World Service, and others that cut shortwave, now they're boasting that they're on domestic relays. But the domestic relays are they're on at very unusual hours.
Well, that's right. I mean, I suspect some of that is due to perhaps lower costs in using feeds, which are increasingly shortwave transmitters are owned by commercial companies rather than the broadcasters themselves. Aren't they these days? And that may have something to do with it. But I mean, I remember when I started in the shortwave hobby that prime time listening, you know, aiming at Europe, for instance, around about 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, perhaps maybe up to about 9 or 10 o'clock, you know, that was the time that the shortwave broadcasters targeted because they knew that's when people would be listening. Whereas these days, it seems to be anybody's guess when you're going to hear a particular station. And it's rather sad, really, that they seem to have lost that target and that focus of listening at a particular time.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the BDXC, now, for members, are you just based for UK members? Or is
Not
it also
all,
members
no,
around the world?
We've got quite a reasonably sized international membership, and indeed always have done since the club started in 1974. In fact, when we advertise outside the UK, we tend to call ourselves BDXC UK to avoid confusion with any other club that might be using those letters of the alphabet.
There's
welcome members from anywhere.
Yes, there's a club in Belgium, which I was told about sounds the same.
That's right. I think they have actually changed their initials now, which helps us a bit. But it did used to cause a lot of confusion. So we did a kind of make arrangements to avoid that confusion. But within the UK, you know, we're generally pretty well known as BDXC. And along with other DX clubs, you know, we're well known over here, really.
Now, for members, what kind of activities do you organise?
Well, the main focus is our monthly magazine, which has the very good title, really, of communication. I think that kind of says it all. And that's still sent through the post to members once a month. In fact, we've always been very proud of our turnaround on the bulletin. In fact, it's going to press the people should be receiving their current edition just about the time this edition of Happy Station's going out, actually, Keith. We aim to get it out within about 10 days to people at the start of the month, so that if there are any changes to schedules and things, that people hear about them then. But, of course, you know, we're aware of the impact of the internet, and so we've also got a website, which members and indeed anybody else is able to use free of charge. And something that's been going for about 33 years now is the BDXC Audio Circle, which was originally known as Tape Circle, and that goes to about 30 or 40 of our members. And people sort of share their recordings of shortwave and various other bits and have discussions on the numerous topics that come about. And apart from all that, we try to get together socially at meetings in various parts of the UK, and indeed there have even been meetings overseas as well from time to time. So we're a pretty active bunch.
Now, with the audio content, have you ever thought of maybe starting a pirate radio station to have your own show?
The least said about that, the better. I think maybe some of our members might have had interest in that in a dim, distant past, but I think... But these days, we try to stay within the law. So, well, I mean, of course, individual members might well be involved with pirate radio, but that is no responsibility of BDXC.
Mm. Now, with membership, is it much more challenging now to get new members than, let's say, 15 or 20 years ago?
Oh, good heavens, yes, it certainly is. I mean, obviously, as we've mentioned already, the impact of the internet, and that is inevitably is giving us a harder deal in trying to get our presence felt, as it were, in a very crowded communications marketplace. And the other thing is, it tends to be a hobby which certainly existing members, so perhaps of an older demographic, people in their middle age and older years. But having said that, we've got quite a lot of our active club team, those that put the bulletin together, are actually younger people, people in their teens. Our shortwave editor actually started editing the section when he was 14 or 15. So we still attract the younger demographic, but it is getting harder to do so, certainly.
And I was speaking there with Mark Savage from the BDXC, that's the British DX Club. If you want more information on what they offer, I invite you to check out their website, which is www.bdxc.org.uk. Once again, www.bdxc.org.uk. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And of course, you know that you can always contact us via our email address, mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also call the PCJ answer line. Here's Bob Zanotti with more details.
Call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399 and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.
Well, over the past 2 weeks, of course, many of you have been on holiday. Many of you have not been on holiday. But nevertheless, a lot of people have been saying it has been a very interesting time to listen to international broadcasting because there's a lot of special programs that went out over the last 2 weeks, including one that we did here at PCJ. It was a four-hour edition of Happy Station directed to listeners in the Americas. Now, one tradition that happens every year from one international broadcaster is the greeting from the Director General of China Radio International. They've been doing this for years. And on January 1st, Wang Gengyang delivered his speech to CRI's overseas listeners.
朋友们, 沟通增进理解,信息创造价值。 在当今时代,全球化使世界日益成为一个地球村。
Dear friends, communication enhances understanding and information creates values. Nowadays, the world is a global village. The world is becoming smaller, but it is not flat. The gaps between countries and regions are often still large. We believe differences should not be the reason for conflict, but that opposition is probably the result of prejudice. So, we are passionate and feel a large responsibility for our involvement in international communication. CRI will continue to make efforts to enhance understanding and friendship between China and the rest of the world.
And that was the Director General of China Radio International with his annual greeting for listeners around the world that was broadcast on Tuesday, January 1st, 2013, this year. Anyway, let's now find out to what we can expect with propagation over the next 7 days. Something strange happened to me the other day. I was listening to the BBC World Service and all of a sudden it went off. And I thought, well, that's strange. And then I tuned around the dial and couldn't find anything else. And I thought, oh, there must have been some type of sower activity. Well, no, it wasn't. It was actually one of my dogs that chewed the wire to the antenna as I was listening, and it went dead. A very naughty little thing. But anyway, what can we expect over the next 7 days? Here's our own Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from January 5th to January 11th, 2013. The 10.7 centimeter flux will be 110 from January 5th to January 8th. And then from January 9th to January 11th, we'll have a 10.7 centimeter flux of 105. We'll see a stable A index of 5 all week long and a stable KP index all week long at 2. Northern sunspot AR1640 was barely visible not long ago. Now it measures more than 100,000 kilometers from end to end and is still growing. A movie recorded by NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory shows the sunspot's rapid development on December 31st to January 1st, 2013. The magnetic fields of the fast-growing sunspots can become unstable and erupt. So far, however, AR1640 is as quiet as all the other sunspots on the solar disk. Solar activity remains very low even as AR1640 boosts the odds of a significant flare. NOAA forecasters estimated a 10% chance of M-class eruptions in the 24-hour time period between January 2nd and 3rd, 2013. The following six sunspots are in view this week: 1636, 1638, 39, 40, 41, and 42. Back to you, Keith.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan Hensley, with this week's propagation forecast. Before we go, I want to remind you again, if you wish to contact us to let us know what you think of the program or have any story ideas, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to this program again, as well as all past editions, at our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. Also, I would invite you to check out our Facebook page. Just do a search for PCJ Media, PCJ Radio, and come in, because we have a lot of really interesting discussions that are taking place, and there's a lot of people there that you might know. Like, for example, Andy Sennett is a regular contributor and commenter on posts and stuff like that. So do check it out. One thing I do want to tell you about before we head off is the latest poll that we have running at pcjmedia.com. Just go to the website, like I just mentioned, and the question is, will Radio Netherlands survive for another 5 years? That's, will Radio Netherlands survive for another 5 years? You have three choices: no, yes, and maybe. And you'll find the poll at www.pcjmedia.com on the right menu. Okay, to end off today, we're going to end with a recording, actually, of the Glenn Miller Band that was made for a show that Glenn Miller did in the late 1940s before he died. And it's a good get-up-and-go number. It's called Tail End Charlie. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Pennell wishing you well. We'll see you in 7 days' time. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.